Thanks for joining us today on CC and Doc Talk, where we talk about everything under the sun. You never know quite what you're going to get, but you'll always be entertained. Welcome to CC and Doc Talk. Today we are talking about invisible disabilities, and we'll get to the why very quickly, but first I want to set the stage for invisible disabilities. So you are, let's say you, Doc, are pulling into the grocery store and you notice somebody pulling into the disabled parking spot. They get out of their car and they sort of jog or move very quickly, seemingly with no cares in the world, into the grocery store. And you immediately go first and check to see if they have a disability tag on their car, which they do.
That's because they're driving somebody else's car. And they took advantage of it.
So that's what I was just going to say. What are your
assumptions? We all want the close-up spot. Any way you could get it, go for it.
So that's what I was going to say. What are your assumptions? So your assumption is they're driving somebody else's car.
Yeah, or that they don't need this and that they're being a pig and using the spots if they don't need it. And, you know, yeah, I have opinions and, you know, my prejudices come out. Or and what am I, what is it that my pet peeves, not prejudices, my pet peeves.
Well, no, they'd probably be prejudices too. So, and because we've had people with pretty severe disabilities in our lives.
Right, like when I've been on crutches and all the spots are full and I see somebody that was able to walk, I have strong opinions about that.
Right.
I'm like, really? I walk from the back of the lot on my crutches and you just jog to your car right up here? Mm-mm.
Well, and we also know somebody who used to take disabled spots, fully not disabled, and used to brag about how she used to park in the disabled spot, which used to make me so mad because my dad at the end of his life was disabled and needed that spot. So here's the point about invisible disabilities. We assume that the person getting out of the car and going into the grocery store looking as healthy as the rest of us is not worthy of that spot, right? We make those judgments, right?
Right.
But, you know, 3 days from now, that person could pull into that same spot and have to use a walker to get in the store, because what we don't know is that their disability is on the inside, not on the outside, which means it can't be seen. And so they actually might have rheumatoid arthritis or fibromyalgia or something that makes it so they can literally almost not move on certain days. But the day that you saw them, they were having a good day. And then you might say, well, they can park in a different spot.
Well,
that
yeah,
day.
If they're having a good day, then they need the exercise, because I'm all about exercise. They should park further back and walk.
And what occurs to me, because you love to stir the pot, what occurs to me is, you know, just because they're having a good day still doesn't mean they can walk a freaking mile from the back of the parking lot, right?
Yeah,
it doesn't mean that they have that kind
that's
of
true.
Stamina.
We do make a lot of assumptions.
Totally. And so
we judge.
And so I want to talk about what an invisible disability is. So I'm going to actually read you a definition from the Invisible Disabilities Association. People often ask us to define invisible disability. In simple terms, an invisible disability is a physical, mental, or neurological condition that is not visible from the outside, yet can limit or challenge a person's movement, senses, or activities and daily activities. Unfortunately, the very fact that these symptoms are invisible can lead to misunderstandings, false perceptions, and judgments. Mm-hmm. So first, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to that definition. If you have an opinion.
Well, I think it stands for itself, you know. I mean, you can't see it, right? And we've had friends with fibromyalgia. We have a good friend that has the trigeminal neuralgia. And she gets like the debilitating, headaches. And one day she's good and the next day, you know, just.
She's not.
Like, not good. And certain things will trigger it. So we don't know if that long walk will be the thing that triggers it.
Exactly.
You know, and yeah,
exactly. That long walk from the back of the parking lot might actually trigger some type of an episode. So, and you might wonder, why on earth am I bringing this up? Well, because since cancer treatment, because I have what I've come to now realize is an invisible disability in my semicolon.
Tell you look great.
I know, right? And that's where this kind of started in my head, right? everybody's like, well, you look great. And I'm like, thank you. I appreciate that.
And when
and
you're jogging into the store, it's because you're running to get to the bathroom quickly.
Exactly. Exactly my point.
You need to park up close because you don't have... Exactly
my point. And I don't have a...
Distance matters.
Distance does matter. And I don't have a disability sticker on my car, but sometimes I wish I did because I'm like, drop me off. Because when we don't have the rolling toilet, i.e. our camper van... Sometimes I am in an emergency situation and have to get to the toilet right now. And does it impact my daily activities? Let me ask you, does it impact my daily activities to have a semicolon, which, by the way, let me define that as I have a resected colon and I am missing all of my sigmoid colon and most of my rectum. My rectum is only 1 inch long, so I have no storage left in my bowel. So back to you, does it affect our day-to-day activities and living?
I'd like to tell you from a loving perspective, no, honey, it doesn't impact our daily lives. But the reality is, yes, it does. It does. It is. We have had to exercise tremendous patience in, you know, like we'll get ready and it's like, all right, let's get out the door. And no, we're not going to leave for another 20 minutes. And all right, let's go ahead and eat dinner and, you know, get a walk in before sunset. Let's not get a walk in before sunset because you're going to be in the bathroom for a while. So, right. It, you know, has it impacted things? Absolutely.
Yep.
You know, and the morning routine is totally different. And
as long as we don't leave the house before noon, we're good.
Well, and there are times that you actually have to leave the house without eating.
Right.
Because if you have appointments and you know you're not going to have access to a bathroom, you'd rather not eat for half a day than have to deal with that.
Right.
So does that a disruption to a daily routine? Yes.
Of course it is. And so and just to capsulize my personal situation, because so many colorectal cancer survivors are in the same situation, as are people with ulcerative colitis and IBS or IBD, irritable bowel diseases.
Crohn's.
And again, all of these would qualify as, and Crohn's disease, and all of these would qualify as invisible disabilities.
Right.
So in my case, because of my semicolon, I experienced something called LARS, which is lower anterior resection syndrome. And that means that I go to the bathroom several times a day, many times a day sometimes, and that certain foods can trigger certain reactions in my body that aren't necessarily agreeable. And that sometimes when I'm in the bathroom, I spend a long time in there because sometimes it takes longer to get things out. Exactly. And then you know, my going is sort of unpredictable. Like we generally know that I'm probably going to go after I eat pretty much every time, but whether it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes or 30 minutes, we don't know. So it could just, you know, hit me. So, and of course I prophylax with Imodium, which many of the people in my situation do, and that's great, but it doesn't completely eliminate and solve the symptoms and the problem. So LARS actually is a syndrome and it is an invisible disability. And so while I don't have a disabled parking pass, I did recently have to get an excuse to get out of jury duty. Because can you just imagine me now going into jury duty and going, excuse me, but I may not be able to get here until noon. And then I might need several
half hour breaks.
Yeah, half an hour breaks during proceedings and possibly several times a day. So literally, you know, we keep saying like we have the luxury of being able to make our own schedules and, you know, right. we're semi-retired, but
there's a lot of people that don't have that luxury.
Exactly.
Where you know, they're on the clock, shall we say.
Exactly. I keep saying that if I had to be on somebody else's bathroom schedule, that my situation would be very different than it is right now.
Somebody else's time clock,
Or somebody else's time clock, or under somebody else's thumb, you know, having to ask permission to go to the bathroom or,
right.
you know, et cetera.
So, it would stand out so much more.
Exactly. So I think all of this is just really an effort to bring awareness to these invisible disabilities that people have, things that are going on the inside that you don't see on the outside. I mean, yes, I look perfectly normal today and I'm thrilled about that. And yet, you know, there is still this. And exactly. And for the record, I want to be very clear here. People with disabilities in general and also those with invisible disabilities, we don't make a habit of of trying to get attention or playing the victim or, you know, using this as the get out of jail free card or, you know, go to the bathroom free card or
and
whatever.
You don't want pity either.
Although I actually do have a go to the bathroom free card for people who have private restrooms that
they say not for public use.
Yeah, that say no public restrooms. I have a card that actually says, you know,
I have this
situation. So and they could still turn me away. Now
I can either use your restroom or I need a mop.
Exactly. 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 Right here on your floor. And I think when disabilities are more visible, then, you know, they sort of, it's easier for people to have to comply because of the ADA, the American Disability Act guidelines, but those don't necessarily always apply to us. And so my whole point is those of us with invisible disabilities aren't really constantly going around pointing that out to people so that we can get sympathy. We don't want your sympathy. That's not the goal.
Right.
The goal is simply just that understanding of, you know, my situation's a little different. And so, you know, if I get up and go to the bathroom 5 times, you know, it's just something to understand differently.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You're somebody now who has to deal with kind of the fallout of this. How do you see it?
Oh, that's a good question. My brain went a different direction. I'm still trying to solve the parking lot thing.
Well, she's not going to park someplace else.
I was thinking of, you know, do you know somebody that has an invisible disability that...
Whether it's,
you know,
like...
arthritis or migraines or fibromyalgia, anything where it's just... Well, and even other cancer survivors. We had a really good friend. Her name was Deb.
Yep.
And we would get together with her once a year at Christmas time. And when we got together with her, it had to be like late in the day because it took her all morning
to get the
energy to be able to get together.
Yep.
Right. And so how do you accommodate those things? Right. And so I guess, the fallout of that, like you said, what are my thoughts around that? It's just, you know, exercising just, you know, so much more patience, so much more understanding. It comes back to that compassion. And I guess if I could tie it back to that parking lot issue, and now I have 2 thoughts around the parking lot, right? If you don't need the spot, don't use it, right? For anybody. If you are driving somebody else's car and it has a handicap tag, don't use it.
You're not talking about
you're not talking about
disabled people and invisibly disabled people.
Right.
You're talking about regular people
who
are using their grandma's
people,
parking tag.
Yeah, if you're driving somebody else's car and it has the disabled tag in it, don't take the spot.
Yeah.
Because there are people that need it. So now that I've said that,
right,
it's really being, you know, my assumption going forward is that anybody uses those spots, I will assume that they need them. And I will send them good healing energy, and it's their karma. No. I can't let it go, can I?
No, you can't.
Why'd you bring this one up?
I just want to be clear that she's talking about the people who aren't disabled and do not have invisible disabilities. She's talking about the person, like the one that you used to work with.
That got a tag and she didn't want to pay for parking.
And so she lied to get a tag, or she used somebody else's issues to get a tag.
And every day she found a different disability spot to park in and then would have to go move the car every day.
That girl I had a real problem with.
I do. I have to let that one go.
Yeah.
Because
as you said, you know, if I were to need a spot just to be able to get into the bathroom sooner, you know,
then
the conversation is really about not making those assumptions and really trying to connect and relate in a way that allows you to be compassionate to people,
right?
Regardless of whether their disability is visible and seen.
Right, because our friend that does have a pretty severe invisible disability, her parents just don't get it. It's like, well, you look fine. You're just fine,
right?
And it's like, but I'm not.
Right.
Well, you look fine. Why are you taking all these medicines? Well, you know, they don't get it. And I guess as family members, you know, you just have to trust. I mean, you know, like... you know, you just have to trust that what they're going through is real. It's real for them. And how can you be there to better support them as opposed to try to diminish it or ignore it or pretty much
pretend like
it doesn't exist.
Or diminish the person for it. You know, right. And I think that's the thing.
You're just faking this.
You and I know, more than one person with an autoimmune disorder, and energy levels come into play. Daily activities come into play. There's so many components to this that healthy people don't understand. Right. And, and then it's real easy to go, well, it must be in your head. Well, things
really,
people don't.
Well, then that's
most
why.
People, let me put it this way. Most people don't make up illnesses in order to get attention. Most people don't do that. Right. And if most people had a choice, like if I had a choice, right. Would I have a whole colon? Of course I would.
Well, I mean, depression.
But I'm alive and I'm here because, and part of the means of getting there was to have a semicolon, and I'll take it. And yet,
your means of being alive.
I want people to understand that it presents a different set of challenges that are not always easily understood.
Well, depression is a disease.
Yes.
Alcoholism is a disease. You know, it's not like you can just, hey, let's get out of bed and be happy today. It's
right.
A chemical thing that's happening.
Right.
Right. All right. So on that note, what's your final words for this?
Well, I really appreciated what you just said about having it be, about people just trying to be more understanding. And I think, you and I both are probably guilty of making the assumption that somebody didn't need that handicapped parking spot or disabled parking spot. And by the way, I don't think I should have said the word handicap. I don't even think that's a word we should use anymore. It's handicapable. And so we're always learning, right? Like always learning, always evolving. And so I want to make sure I didn't offend anybody with that. But it's really changing your mindset. And again, until you're in the shoes, you don't know, right?
Yeah.
So
well, isn't that always the case? Walk a mile in those shoes before you have.
Right. So, and the only thing that I can relate, if you want to understand what it's like to be in the shoes of someone with LARS, for instance, lower anterior resection syndrome.
Yeah, all you have to do is get food poisoning to have a good idea of that one.
Well, there's that. Yeah, that's a great example. Yep, food poisoning. Or
severe diarrhea.
Yeah, anytime you have had severe diarrhea.
A colonoscopy clean out will give you an example.
Don't scare people. Get your butts checked. Don't listen to her.
You can't go that far away from a toilet. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, or think about, have you ever been like driving in a car and all of a sudden you get that gurgling and you get that urge to have to go? And you know that it's like 20 miles until your next exit, and you're like, you're squeezing those butt cheeks as hard as you can possibly squeeze them.
Walks. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got a mile to whatever I need to get to, and this is going to be a challenge. Pucker, 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 pucker.
And so the rare occasions when that happens to you, if you think about that as a daily occurrence, then that will give you an idea of that. So really, this just comes down to the idea of.
So when you're running to the bathroom. It's not because you physically, running to the store.
Yeah, when I'm running to the store, it's not that I'm excited about running into the store to shop. It's because I have to go to the bathroom.
There's a purpose to
this.
I gotta
go. Yeah, anyway. So I would encourage you to ask people questions. There are people in your life who have invisible disabilities. Ask them questions. Find out what they need. How does that affect their energy? How does it affect their ability to get around? Yeah. How does it affect their daily activities? And how can you
where do they park?
No. Let it go. Okay. And how can you be supportive? How can you support
absolutely.
The people in your lives who need your support without being condescending and over sympathetic? We don't need your condescension and sympathy. We just want your understanding and support is really all it is. It's just a matter of going, oh, yeah, I get that. You got to go to the bathroom 12 times while we're on this walk. We'll just go slow. No big deal.
Yep, got it.
Really? All right. And park where you want.
I park in the back of the lot because I got that big rig that needs two spots. So,
which is why I'm always running to the bathroom. Oh,
all right. Let's wrap this up here.
All right. Well, we appreciate your listening. Thank you again for joining us for CC and Doc Talk. Join us on social media at CCNDoc. Have a great day. Thanks for tuning in to CC and Doc Talk. We'd love for you to follow us on social media at CC and Doc. That's CCNDOC. And you can visit our website at ccanddoc.com. We also take monthly donations to support this broadcast if you're so inclined. We'd love to hear your comments, suggestions, and questions, and we'll do our best to respond. Thanks, and have a fantabulous day.